All right. God bless you. You may be seated.
When Pastor Johnny said that Pastor Robert was getting some rest, y'all were just like, what's rest? I'm doing what this man does. Go from this campus, that campus, this campus. That man needs some rest. Let that man get a little rest. Good night. Boy, God bless you. Welcome to Calvary Tucson. If you're here for the very first time, you must come back and hear Pastor Robert, a tremendous communicator and a teacher of the Word of God. And so I don't want you to hear me and say, I'm never going back to that church. No. You must come back and hear Pastor Robert give the Word of God. And so my wife and I, we're just so thankful to be here. Every invitation we get around the world and to speak and to share the Word of God, we're always honored and always blessed. And I just found out, it's funny, maybe I just forgot, but I just found out that I was on the radio here yesterday. Yeah, enjoy your ministry on the radio. I said, radio where? Here. Oh, I didn't even know I was, or maybe our guy told us and I forgot. I don't know. All right, I'm eating up my time because I'm a former Marine, so I'm very, when it comes to time, it's all about it. God bless you. And I got Mrs. Marine down here. And she gives me when I have 5 minutes left. And so she gives me that little indicator, I have 5 minutes to go. So I have to wrap it up. So we've been teaching through the book of the Song of Solomon this weekend with a marriage conference. And so very thankful for that. And so we're going to continue. Whether you see this wonderful, I keep jacking up the name of it, but this is so wonderful that Melissa, Pastor Johnny's wife, and some others put this together, and it's little hearts and things all made from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, the very verse that I'm going to deal with today. This is outstanding. Y'all should be clapping. This is outstanding. Are y'all awake today? Y'all awake? All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 15. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us into all truth. We pray that your word would speak into our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you will reveal the secrets of our hearts today. Lord, that we might leave here knowing that you're truly in this place. And God, we just pray, move by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. The title of this message is Beware of Foxes. Beware of Foxes. The word beware, it gives us the idea of a warning. We're being warned about something. And we've been warned about foxes that can get into our relationships, get into our marriages, get in between us and our relationship with God. So we need to talk about some foxes. It's amazing because those who study these animals, they notice something about them. There was something kind of sneaky and slippery about them. Cunning. This is why the saying, you sly fox, because there's something sneaky about them. The worst thing you can have in a vineyard is for a fox to get in there. He eat the blossom, keep it from budding, keep a grape from forming. And so in biblical times, they would build a wall around their vineyards to keep the foxes out. But some kind of way, those sneaky little creatures, they will get in there. They will get in there. And they will cause major problems. Look what it says there in verse 15. It says, chapter 2, verse 15. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. for our vines have tender grapes. We're going to look at this particular verse. The first thing I want you to notice is the Shulamite woman, who's Solomon's wife, she is speaking here. She is speaking to Solomon. She is saying, you catch us the foxes. You take the initiative. Men, we're called to take the initiative when it comes to these types of things. She wanted him to lead the way. Yes, we're called to lead. We're called to bring home the bacon, but we're called to bring home the Bible as well. We're called to lead, not only in financial things, but we're called to lead in spiritual things. She said, you lead, you take the initiative in catching us the foxes. Those things we have allowed to get into our marriage, you catch them before it does the damage that little foxes like to do. You take the initiative. And so we're going to look at four foxes that get into relationships, marriages, and they can cause some incredible destruction. The first one we're going to look at, Roman numeral number one for you note takers. Number one is unresolved conflict. That is the first fox we allow to get in. When I was younger, I was really, really good at ping pong. I was so good that I'm right-handed, but I will play everyone left-handed until I lose. And then I will burst their bubble and say, okay, now let me switch to my right hand and just destroy them. There have been times I've gone on men's retreats in different places, and I would not take the paddle out of my left hand. I just beat everybody left-handed. So when I was younger, when I would hit the ball over the net, the purpose was so the other person would hit it back. Now, if I hit the ball over the net and they just walked away, or if I hit the ball over the net and they just stand there and look at it go by, I know that that person is not playing according to the rules. And there are two ways that people deal with a conflict when it comes. A, you note takers, Roman numeral number one, then A. Oh, you with me. A, the way that they will deal with conflict, they will deal with it by walking away. Walking away, or by ignoring it. A, ignoring it. You walk away from conflict. You try to ignore it. And the thing is that, you know, the other person in the relationship feel like they're alone. Because you're always walking away from the situation. And men, that's normally us. Because we walk away because we think we're keeping the peace. When we were younger, oh, we were a fireball. We were right there and we would argue you down. But then, you know, we get older. We don't have that much testosterone anymore. We don't like a lot of noise, a lot of fight. So we just walk away and we think we're keeping the peace, but all the time we're just sweeping the thing under the rug. The problem is still there. It just went unresolved. And that's a lot. And then our wives feel like they're in the relationship by themselves, that nothing is taking place. And if we were to look into your lives, there's a rug that has a hump in it. You swept everything under and you're like, oh, things are peaceful at the house. Things are peaceful. No, you think they're peaceful, but it's just problems that went unresolved. Because that's how you always dealt with things, sweeping it under the rug, hoping that it will go away. Now, ladies, can I talk to you for a moment? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, Solomon speaking here, he said, there's a time for everything under the sun. And the time to talk, ladies, to us is not during SportsCenter. The NBA Finals, NFL Super Bowl, It's not time to be talking about problems and bills during the Super Bowl. Now, I know you just can't help it. You can't help yourself sometimes. We just need to talk right now. And thank God for technology, that technology today, we can pause live TV. And that's a great thing. Well, amen. That's a great thing. We love that. Amen. But, you know, we're still not listening to you. Because we got it paused and we're like, oh, they were on the 2-yard line. I wonder if they score. And we're doing this to you. Yeah, yeah. And we're like, I wonder if they score. They were on the 2-yard line. I just wonder if they score. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I wonder. We were down by 10 when she started talking. I wonder if they came back and... That's not the time to talk. But you just got to talk. And we don't want to listen. So you have this issue going on. Also, when I was really good, the way I was really good at ping pong, I just made people beat themselves. So they will hit the ball over the net, and I hit it on that side. Then I hit it on that side. Then I hit it down the middle. And I might hit it 2 times over there, then 1 over there. And they get so frustrated and so impatient with just hitting the ball back and forth that they get angry and just whoop and hit the ball off the table. Point for me. And I just make people beat themselves. And this is the second way people deal with conflict. Be anger. They explode in anger. Ladies, you're just like my father, you jerk. And you definitely not like my mother. Or you're like all other men. See? And they explode and deal with conflict out of anger. Proverbs 18, verse 19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And this is why sometimes it takes days to resolve conflict in relationships because of what this verse teaches. A brother offended is harder to win. It's like taking a strong city. I remember when... When that word, you know, this word offended today has taken on a whole life of its own. Today, people say, I'm offended. We're like, oh, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. What can I do to make it right? I'm sorry. Back in my day, when someone said, I'm offended, we said, so? I'm offended that you offended. So now we both offended. Now let's finish the conversation. But today, oh, I'm offended. Oh, everybody's bowing down to the person offended. You know how I deal with it today? So? Are you offended? Okay, now we've established that. You know, let's just keep it going. Keep it moving. You forgot I'm a Marine. I'm a former Marine. Get over yourself. That doesn't bother me anymore. Oh, I'm offended. That means bow to them. I'm like, no, I don't care. Okay, we both established, we both offended. Now let's continue with the conversation. And they're looking like, oh, you're not gonna bow to me? No. No. And this is why it says that a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Ladies, especially, I want to talk to the singles. Those of you who are single here. You're in a dating relationship. And if the person deals with conflict by stomping out, exploding with anger, Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with the furious man do not go. Here it is, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. In other words, we become like the people we hang out with. And if the person you're dating deals with things by stomping out, by yelling, getting angry, you're going to end up just like them. You're going to start snapping on the children, snapping on people, yelling at this person. Didn't we coin the phrase, birds of a feather flock together? It's the biblical principle here. We become like the people we hang out with. And singles, ladies, especially ladies, if you're on a date, you're out at a restaurant, and he's blowing up at the waitress or waiter and yelling at them over there, and you and them, let me help you. Do like this. Check, 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 please. Check, please. Check, please. And you run. Run. Get out of there. What? But I came with him. Call Uber. And get out of there. I'm here. I came all the way from Virginia to tell you to run. Because this is, he's just showing you, he's giving you a sneak preview of coming attractions. That's all he's doing. He's letting you know that what's going to happen when you say I do. It's not like when you walk down the aisle, dun, 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 and all of a sudden he get a ring. Boom, the ring gets on. He's like, oh, he's a nice guy now. No. He's just an angry guy with a ring now. That's all he is. Run from such a person. Now, I know that there are some people here. What I just said went in one ear and out the other. You know why? Because you feel trapped. You feel trapped by the relationship. Because we all make boneheaded decisions. And I know that there are some of you, you feel trapped because you're not married, you'd have moved in together, got names on mortgages and had kids, and it's just crazy. And you feel like, where am I going to go? And you feel trapped. And I'm here to tell you, the God we serve is a God of hope. He's called the God of all hope. And there's hope with him. Because God never wants you to stay in a relationship with an angry person. He's gotten angry. He's gotten physical with you. Grab your arm, left marks. You wear long sleeves now because you don't want people to see the marks on your arm. Because he's grabbed you. I'm here to tell you, God never, never, ever called you to be some doormat for somebody to walk all over. And I have to say, it goes both ways. We have some women in Virginia. You think you're going to abuse them? Oh, this is how you, knuckle up. And they're ready to go toe-to-toe with you. So I have to say it both ways. Because there are some guys who get in the business. They were always told, you don't put your hands on a woman. So she's like, okay. And soon as they get in the house and close the door, she body blow, tearing him up. Put that shirt on. Lift that shirt. Don't you take it off nobody and show them what I'm doing. So I have to say, it goes both ways. God never designed for us to be a punching bag for someone. God never designed for us to be this way. You know how I know? I'm looking around and I know that abuse and stuff is taking place with many of you in here. All I have to do, men, all I have to do is look at that woman sitting next to you. 1 Corinthians 11:7 says that the woman is the glory of the man. The woman reflects what the man is doing to her. And I can look at her and I can tell you whether you're a jerk of a husband or whether you're a good husband. There's been some people I've seen and I look at her and I say, he's good to you, isn't he? And she says, yes, he is, Pastor Tony. I can tell. There are some women right now trying to smile. I still see it. I still see it. And God never designed for us to be a punching bag for anyone and stay in a relationship like that. Never designed for it to be that way. So we have foxes of Roman numeral number one, unresolved conflict. Roman numeral number two is the biggest of them all. Foxes of premarital sex. No doubt this is the biggest of all foxes. Because when a couple is at this stage, we my generation and above, you're going to remember this, those you are my age and above, this was called the courting stage. That you got to this stage of the relationship. When you got to this stage, love wants to express itself. And what happens is that when you give in, it ruins the relationship. Because now sex becomes the focal point of the relationship. You've crossed the forbidden line. Guilt comes in. Satan brings condemnation. One wants to stop. The other one wants to keep it going. There's guilt and she gives in or he gives in. And then they're feeling guilty. Because see, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we're given the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. And we feel bad. We feel convicted. We feel, and it's just, and the other person puts a guilt trip on the other. It places a wedge in the relationship. And this relationship it's no longer the same. It's ruined now. Then number three, there are foxes of mistrust and jealousy. Foxes of mistrust and jealousy. Because sex has entered the relationship prematurely, it causes mistrust and jealousy. For example,
I saw you looking at her at church again. There you go. Every time we come to church, you're in her face smiling. Why are you late? You said you'll be here 2 minutes, 30 seconds ago. Did you go around that way? Did you see her again?
See, this sort of mistrust and jealousy, it occurs because of the fox of premarital sex has come in now. And now there's this weirdness, there's this jealousy, there's this craziness. It's just craziness. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Number four, the fox of unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit. This person refuses to accept the apology from the other. Uh-oh. That describes many of you here. Singles, let me talk to you again. Put up a red flag if the person you're in a relationship with is unforgiving. If they feel like God and they don't make mistakes, just remember James 2:13, which says, judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. In other words, this verse is saying, if you are unmerciful, unforgiving, when you blow it, and you will, no mercy will be shown to you. This is why Ephesians 4 and verse 32 it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Show me a person that is unforgiving, and I'll show you a person who has either forgotten or don't realize how much they have been forgiven. See, when you realize how much God has forgiven you, you will be quick to extend that forgiveness to others. Ladies, can I talk to you about this? Because you have memories like an elephant. You don't forget anything. And because memory has a close connection with hurt feelings, the emotions, what hurts us emotionally gets etched in our memories. And because you're very emotional people, that hurt etches that in the brain. And as soon as we say, oh, I've never said that, She'll bring up 5 years ago you did. It was raining out. You know, it doesn't rain in Tucson. It was raining. We were on our way to my mother's house. And you said it. Men, they don't forget. I wish that we were more like God that says that he will take our iniquities and our sins and he will remember them no more. I wish forgiveness meant to erase from the memory. I really wish it did. But let me give you the true definition of what it means to forgive. You know what it means to forgive? It means to treat the person as if the offense never occurred. Oh, boy, that is a deep definition right there. Treat the person as if the offense, there's that word again, never occurred. What I just said, humanly speaking, is impossible. But when God asks us to forgive, just like Pastor Chuck Smith taught us pastors, God's calling is his enabling. What he has called us to do, he will enable and empower us to do or to carry out. God would never ask us to do something that he doesn't give us the power nor the strength to carry it out. Ladies, I know, because we as men, we mess up, not sometimes, we mess up all the time. We do. And somebody just say, true. I know, we do. We blow it all the time. We do. And I know we said we're sorry. And I know you can't erase it from your brain. This is where we need the Lord. This is where we need a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. We must have it. If we don't have this relationship with the Lord, we can't do this. You'll be an angry elf, South Pole elf. You'll be an angry elf all the time. And I'm looking at some of you ladies here, and you've been angry for a long time. You know why? You wear it here. And I can tell you the one. And you know what? It's an old saying. I'm going to give you a minute to let it sink in. It's an old saying that says that when you're 40 years old, you're responsible for that face. Let it sink in. There are some of you I wish I could sneak up to with a mirror and show you what you're looking like. Some of you sitting there like, you're responsible for that. You're responsible for that. Because that's years of hurt and pain and not dealing with it properly. And you're wearing it. You're wearing it. And you don't even realize you are. You're wearing the hurt. Men, I can look at your wives right now or the women you sit next to. And I can tell you the ones that you have devastated over the years. This is why we need the Lord's help. We can't do this on our own. So these are some of the foxes that can spoil any relationship, any marriage. But I have to ask you this. What foxes have you allowed to get into your relationship with the Lord? Because God wants our lives to bear fruit. You know Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So many people misquote that verse. This is how you quote it. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Hey, slow down. Notice it says the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love. Agapeo is his noun form. Agape is verb form. It's God's love. It's a love that gives and expects nothing in return. It's a love that gives with no strings attached. It's God's love. It's divine love. And out of that love comes joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and kindness and self-control. And I know many of you judge your walk with the Lord about how often you come to church. Or you judge your walk with the Lord about how many chapters you read or how often you pray or something like that. And those are great things. But the real indicator and the test of where you are in your walk with the Lord is through the fruit of the Spirit. You bearing fruit. Are you more loving this year than you were last year? Are you more patient today than you were yesterday? Are you more gentle this month than you were last month? That's how you judge where you are in your walk with the Lord. It's to judge it by the fruit of the Spirit. That's how you judge it. Oh, you can come in here and sit here. And there's many people who come to church, living together, doing all kind of craziness together, and go back out. It's not. Are you growing? Are you bearing fruit? And the Lord just doesn't want us bearing fruit. He said, I want you to bear much fruit, John 15. But sometimes we can allow foxes to get in and can cause problems. Men, sometimes we can allow the fox of pornography. Men, pornography is eating our lunch. It's eating us up. Men, it's eating us up. It's destroying our lives spiritually. It's destroying our marriages. Men, it's eating us up. It's eating our lunch. It's destroying. If you're my age and older, you remember, if you wanted to see anything like that, you had to go to the XXX store, put on a trench coat, a hat, sunglasses, and you go in there, and there's a bunch of videos. Kids video, it was a case with some tape in it, and we used to put in this thing called a VCR, and just ask somebody older. And then once you go in there, oh my goodness, I'm down to 5 minutes, okay. And then once you go in there, then there was a curtain, you go behind that curtain, and that's where the videos were. Nowadays, right in the palms of our hands with our telephones. Everything we think we can want is there. Little kids that have cell phones are now becoming addicted to pornography. I just heard of a case of a kid. He just turned teenager, addicted already because of what was on his phone. We can allow these things to get in our lives and cause all kind of problems, cause us to be unfruitful. As I mentioned before, men, we can also allow foxes in. I mean, a little fox, a little vixen. And we allow that to come in and destroy our relationship with the Lord, destroy our marriages. And ladies, and this is you. I had to learn this term. Because you're emotional people, you can have the dittos, an emotional affair. I didn't even know such a thing existed. But you're going by the, you know, the break room, you're getting you some coffee, and the guy was in there and said, oh, you look very nice today. And you're like, whoa. Oh, I haven't heard that in years. The next day, oh, you make sure you take a little extra time to fix up. Make sure you go by the break room again. Oh, look at you really look nice. That color looks good on you. And then next thing you know, you're involved in an emotional affair. I didn't know such a thing existed, but it does. And it can become a fox and cause major problems. Look at the last part of verse 15 as I wrap it up. 2 minutes. All right, I got to wrap it up fast. The last part, it says, for our vines have tender grapes. You know, the reason why she said their vines have tender grapes is because they kept the foxes out. They kept the foxes out of their relationship. See, this is what's so amazing, that there are couples who've kept the foxes out of their relationship, that they can kneel down before the Lord on their honeymoon night, praying for each other, that they've kept themselves pure and can enjoy each other for the first time. Many of us would never know what that's like because we've allowed foxes in. But one thing I'm here to tell you, that we serve a God that says in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, that he can restore the years that the locusts have eaten up. That the God we serve is a God who forgives and restores. And there are some of you here who need to be restored. There are some of your marriages that need to be restored. There are some of your relationships with God that you've allowed foxes in that need to be restored. And as I close in prayer, and then I dart out because I got to go to the other campus, there's going to be some people here to pray with you. You need to get up here. Foxes have destroyed your marriage. It's destroyed your life personally. But you need to come because God is the God who restores. He the God who restores. This is why we come to, this is one of the reasons we come to church. So we can expose ourselves to God through worship, hear what he has to say to us in the word, and then we respond. You don't want to leave here the same way you came in here. How can we come to church and leave the same way? We just exposed ourselves to the God of the universe through worship and heard his word, his eternal word. Then we leave out here unchanged? No, we come here to hear what he has to say, and then we make the adjustments. And there's going to be some people to pray with you about these things. Father, thank you so much for these, your precious people. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon them, draw them to you. Lord, there are some who need to be restored. There are some who need to be healed. Lord, there are some who need to be forgiven. There are some, Lord, that need to let go of the unforgiveness and anger and bitterness. Oh, God, I pray, do a work in the hearts of your people. Lord, we need you. We need you so desperately, Lord, to work in our hearts. Forgive us, cleanse us, draw us to the foot of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand. God bless you. God bless you, and you have a great afternoon.